Thank you for listening to the Keystone Church podcast. For more information about us, you can visit us at mykeystonechurch.com.
So, quick story. A father said to his son, "You graduated with honors. Here's a car that I acquired many years ago. It's several years old." And he says, "But before I give it to you, take it to the used car lot downtown and tell them I want to sell it and see how much they offer you." The son went to the used car lot and returned to his father and said, "They offered me $1,000 because it looks very worn out." And the father goes, "Now take it to the pawn shop and tell me what they offer." And he says, "The pawn shop offered $100. They said, it's old, it's worn down, they're not going to pay much more than $100 for it." And he said, "Now go take it to the car club and show them the car." So the son took the car to the car club and told his father, "Some people in the club offered $100,000 for it. Since it's a Nissan Skyline R34, iconic car sought after by many." And the father said to his son, "I wanted you to know that the right place values you the right way." When we talk about honor, you can't receive the gift of who someone is until you accurately acknowledge who they are. And so honor, a lot of it comes out of this passage in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 41 says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever receives a righteous man as a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward." Jesus is trying to help explain to people that he's saying, essentially, whoever receives a prophet as a prophet. So in other words, God sees him as a prophet, right? God identifies this person as a prophet. We need to also be able to identify them as a prophet in order to receive the reward that God has through the full calling of the person. We have to be able to accurately identify who somebody is in order to receive the reward of who they are. If I was to define honor at its core, I think honor is an appropriate response to God's reality. Honor is an appropriate response to God's reality. And it's in regards to his created people, and it's regard to him, he himself. I think the difficult thing is when the people that we're supposed to honor don't always come in the best packages. It's not always easy to tell that somebody's a prophet when you see their flaws, or when you see their struggles, or when you see that clearly they were wrong in this area, therefore I have a hard time honoring them in these other areas. And so honor doesn't look at what somebody has earned based on their actions. It looks at what is God seeing, what is God doing inside of somebody. In the same way, when we turn our heart to honor God, we have to accurately see who he is and acknowledge who he is in order to receive the rewards of honor in the context of intimacy with him. So the first thing, you know, there's kind of several different pieces of how we respond to God in honor. The first is just acknowledging him as he is. In Psalm 65, it says, "You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy." And David is just painting this massive picture of God. And it's this big picture of who he really is. And when we see God as he really is, in his magnificence, in his glory, then we can respond out of honor. So we have to acknowledge who he is, and then we have to respond to that revelation. So we have to acknowledge the greatness of God, how amazing he is, how big he is, how worthy he is, and then we respond out of that. So the fear of the Lord is one of the natural responses of honor to his greatness. But the fear of the Lord, here's the thing, it's not a feeling. It's a position of respect and honor based on what we know to be true about him. So, you know the story, Samuel had two sons, not Samuel, Eli. Eli was the high priest, right? We talked about Hannah the other week and how she prayed for a son, and she had Samuel, and she gave Samuel to Eli to raise. Well, Eli raised two other boys who were his own sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And these guys were supposed to kind of work in the temple. And instead of doing what they were supposed to be doing, they were taking the best portions of food that was supposed to be meant as a sacrifice for God, and they were committing adultery with women that were coming to the temple. So these guys are working in the place where the presence of God dwells, but clearly they weren't feeling the emotion of the fear of the Lord. Right? And is that because God wasn't in the room? It's not because God wasn't in the room. Sometimes we respond out of the fear of the Lord, whether or not we have the emotion of honor and the emotion of, I feel the greatness of God all over me right now. Sometimes it comes from a place of just acknowledging who he is and responding out of that. If they had chosen to say, we're going to fear God, whether or not we feel God. If they had chosen to say, we're going to honor God, whether or not we see him. They would have had favor on their lives instead of destruction. So we've got to acknowledge who he is, and then we have to respond to that. One of the ways that we respond in honor to God is by hosting his presence, by being a host to his presence. So when we talk about going into the place of intimacy, and we're trying to encounter God, and we're trying to meet with him, we want to be a host. We're welcoming his presence. And if you think about it like you do with your home, and when you welcome people in, there's several things that a good host is going to do. The first thing a good host is going to do is they're going to prepare. Like, hopefully they're aware somebody's coming and they're able to kind of get things ready to make the person feel as comfortable as possible when they come, right? But then the next thing I think that a lot of good hosts do is a good host, when they invite somebody into the home, they're listening. They're listening very carefully for what that person needs, for what that person wants, for what they're looking for, and what they're hoping to get out of the experience. So I'll give you an example. If a relative of yours comes to the door, and they're exhausted, their clothes are torn, they're dirty, they've got cuts all over, they're starving, they're thirsty, and it's a relative of yours, what are you going to do? You're going to welcome them in. You're going to take care of those needs, right? Immediately. Like, there's no question. The problem is, when God comes to the door, are we listening for what he needs and what he wants? I think a lot of times when we think about encountering God and being in his presence, our first thought goes to what I need and what I want. And I think what would happen if we shifted our mindset to, I'm welcoming God into my space, into my heart. I'm welcoming his presence. And instead of just saying, I'm welcoming your presence so you can give me what I need, we said, I'm welcoming your presence. What do you want? What do you need? I mean, one of the things that I love to do is, if somebody comes and they haven't been here before and they show interest in our backyard or in our kitchen, like, I love to show them and tell them more about it. Like, if you see somebody express interest in something, you want to invite them deeper into that and be a good host by welcoming them into that place. And in the same way, when we honor God and his presence, we can do that by listening for what he wants to do, for what he wants to say. A lot of times we come, and almost all of us can say, this is what I need right now. But in honor and in seeking his presence, what would happen if we said, I'm going to put this to the side. It's not that I don't need it. It's not that I'm not going to ask about it. But first, even before I go there, God, what is it that you want to do? And a lot of times what we'll find is the thing that we have desperation for, the thing that we need him to move on, is actually going to be touched when he moves on the thing he wants to move on. A lot of times he's looking at a completely different area. He has a different thing that he wants to address in us. And at its core, it will have the impact that we're hoping for on our areas of desperation. Or sometimes we find that once he moves in this place that he wants to do something, the area we thought we were desperate actually just disappears. Like, it actually wasn't really that big of a thing. It's like a dance, and we have to ask, who are we letting God lead? When I come into his presence, am I coming just to get my needs met, or am I coming to honor him and to listen to him? Another thing that honor does is honor engages. So we acknowledge him as he is, we respond to him out of who he is, and we engage with him. That means that we open the door and let him say what he wants to say, and we honor him with a genuine response. So sometimes when God pokes at something, I'm like, God, what do you want to do? What is it that you want to say? Where can I let you move? And he'll put his finger on something, and it's not what I want. And I can honor God by giving him a genuine response of, God, I don't really like that. I don't like what you're putting your finger on right now. That doesn't feel good. And I can honor him by saying, I want to respond wholeheartedly, but I'd like to know, God, what is it that's causing me to not like what you're putting your finger on? How can I move my heart toward wholeheartedness? Can you show me why I'm struggling with this right here? And we give a genuine response instead of just, I think the problem is we can get religious about it and just go, okay, God, you're putting your finger here, okay. And then we jump into human zeal and human power mode instead of just being raw with him and being real and saying, God, I don't know what I feel about this. And, you look at the story of Jonah. If Jonah had just said, God, I don't want to do this. Why? Why would you do that? And just had a conversation with him. I think it would have been better than him just saying, I know God well enough to know he's gonna forgive these people and I don't want that. So he just runs. He didn't honor God by engaging with God. And yet you see lots of examples where people did. You look at Moses, and Moses was known as a friend of God. Moses was constantly having these amazing back and forth conversations with God about Israel. Where you've got Abraham, where God says, before I do what I'm going to do at Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to share it with my friend Abraham. And he has a discussion and a back and forth. We can honor God by engaging with him in an authentic way with what we're feeling. And here's the last thing. Honor trusts. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 28 expands on this. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. Both of these little verses here kind of encapsulate the idea that when we know who God is, when we have an authentic understanding of who he is, we can respond out of that with trust. We can know that when we bring him into our lives, into the place of his presence, when we connect with him in that way, and we invite him to share what he wants to share instead of just going after what we want, we can trust that he's going to protect us. We can trust that vulnerability is going to be safe with him. When I was first learning about the secret place, about the time in God's presence and connecting with him, I asked God, because I just had no idea, and I was like, God, what is the secret place? And I asked him, what is the secret place? What does this mean? Because I hear people talking about it, and I don't get it. And I heard him say, the secret place is my holy mountain, where your desires and my desires meet. And it was so clear to me at that point that when we get to go to the secret place, first and foremost, it's his holy mountain that we get to just jump on and engage in. It's the place of the tabernacle. It's the place of intimacy. But he said, it's where your desires and my desires meet. Which means there's a lightning effect. There's a impact when we have our hearts aligned with the things that God wants. The things that I want are great. The things that he wants are good, but until there's overlap, I'm not going to see the impact in my life. And so the goal, of course, is always to move my heart more and more into alignment with the things that he wants. And the more his desires and my desires meet and come together, in that place, that's where change happens. That's where intimacy happens. That's where he moves in our lives. The thing is, God won't wrestle us into submission, but we can make a choice to align even when we don't understand. So when we talk about honor in this place of intimacy, we can treat God like the king that we know he is, not based on how we see other people treating him, And sometimes honoring him in that place of intimacy requires an act of honor. And when what I mean by that is, you look at Mary of Bethany, and she anointed Jesus' feet. She had an act of honor. And for her, that was her way. That was her way of pouring out her heart to him, of honoring him. And it was extravagant. And if she had any thought to what people around her were saying about her, she would have felt embarrassed. But she didn't. Acts of honor, when we choose to do an act of honor, one of the important things about that is it has to be unique to you. We have to kind of figure out what is my act of honor. Sometimes me personally, my act of honor is dancing before the Lord. Sometimes my act of honor is worshiping him or is doing something that makes me feel vulnerable without thought of the people around me or what they're going to do. Sometimes, in fact, I would say most of the time, an act of honor is something that doesn't feel comfortable, but it's an extravagant act of love toward God without thought of what other people are going to say or do about it. My act of honor is probably not going to look like Mary of Bethany's act of honor. And when I honor him and I'm moving into his presence and I'm engaging with him in that way, I think it's really important for all of us to kind of figure out what is it for you that you know doing this would be an act of honor for God. It would be an act of love. It would be extravagant. It would be affectionate. But you worry about stepping into because you're afraid of what other people will say or do. I think most of us have had that moment where we know we're supposed to step into something extravagant and we've been held back by thoughts of other people. The truth is, I can't respond to him out of who he is if I'm concerned about what other people think about who I am. I can't honor him as who he is if I'm concerned about what other people are going to think about who I am. So the reason that this is such a key to that place of intimacy is because any good relationship comes from a place of saying, I know who you are, and me honoring who you are is more important to me than anything else. When I connect with my wife, it's more important that I honor who she is and I respond out of that than that I worry if somebody else is going to think something about us holding hands or about me saying something loving to her. If I base my affection toward her on other people, I've disrupted the flow of relationship and connection with her, and I've actually dishonored her. So I want to encourage all of us to begin processing, are we hosting God's presence? Are we inviting him in? Are we honoring him by letting him take the lead? And are we honoring him by willing to love him extravagantly, willing to be embarrassing in our pursuit of him? So let's pray. God, we love you. And God, I pray for each and every one of us, God, that you would pull out of our hearts ways that we can love you extravagantly. God, I ask that fear of man would be something that would just shrivel up and die inside of each of us, God. And that you would birth inside of us, Father, hearts of genuine affection and love and extravagance. That we would honor you, God, in ways that bless your heart. God, I pray that that we would invite you in deeper and deeper. That we would let you take the lead. That we'd let you show us, God, where you want to move and where you want to work inside of us. And God, I pray that you would expose any areas where we are too rigid in our approach to you, where we're just waiting for you to fix what we want you to fix, and where we're not actually even open to hearing your voice. God, I pray for each of us that you would draw us close. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you are the one who has pursued us. You were the first one to honor us and to show your extravagant affection, God. So we love you, God, and we just lift our hearts to you in Jesus' name.